Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Duvian, your host, and I thank you for joining us. We normally come to you every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We also rebroadcast on Sundays at 3 p.m. on a2zen.fm, and we archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page. Lots of information for you to access because we link to all of our guests' websites so that you can go directly to their website and you can get all of the information that you need. Well, it is a drizzly weekend here on the central coast of California here in the United States from wherever you might be listening. And today we're going to take a trip into, what was the phrase that I can't even remember now? There was a phrase that was used, a term, I think it was referred to as the sticks or something like that, when you would go into the New York Central Library. Well, my guest, Flo Magdalena, is going to kind of take us there, but not exactly the New York Central Library. It's a different kind of library. It's something you've probably heard of, and we're going to find out a little bit more in regards to the Akashic Records. It's I think it's akin to what we've heard of, the library at Alexandria, those kinds of things. It's a universal library, if you will. Everyone has access to it, but not everybody accesses it. Flo, I want to thank you very much for joining us again on the program. It's good to have you back.
Thank you, Richard. It's lovely to be here.
And I wish I could remember what it was called. I know that when you would go deep, deep, deep into the aisles of books in the New York Public Library, I've never been there, I just have heard the term, it was, you know, you were going, you better either leave breadcrumbs or or GPS signal. Because,
get your boat back out.
Exactly. The Akashic Records are, I guess the first thing we need to do is define, if we can, in the simplest terms, what is or are the Akashic Records?
Well, the Akashic Records are the potentials and intentions and actions of humanity and of all universes, I think. We can access all universes through that space as well. And the Akashic Records are accessed through our vibrations. So in different lifetimes, we have different names and different identities, and we play different roles. But we have a vibration that stays consistent. And so in terms of accessing the space of the Akashic Records to get information, to open to understanding, and to, in a sense, rework some of the things we've done in other lifetimes or this lifetime to create balance or harmony or union or to actually resolve things, we need that vibration. So the idea is taken from some information that I received from the ones with no names. And if I can just give you a little background about them, they are the cosmic guidance counselors that help us to choose what we're going to actualize in a lifetime, what our gifts are going to be, and what our learnings are going to be. And from that universal space of the swing between worlds, which is where we can actually look and see where do we want to go, who are our parents going to be, what are the kinds of things we're going to understand and learn and resolve and clear, and what are the things that we're going to give to the world, what are contributions or contributions or gifts we're going to give to the world. And as we're in the swing between worlds, you know, kind of sorting all that out and looking at all of the spaces that are open to us, then we make a choice to come into a particular incarnation, and the vibration is held in our soul seed. And I talk about that a lot, being the place that we can access in the physical location of the xiphoid process, which is at the base of the sternum where the ribs come together in the center in kind of a point. So in my idea, the xiphoid process points to the soul seed, and our vibration or our essence is in there. So when we go into those spaces, those inner worlds, and we touch into those vibrations, then we open to who we are. And we all kind of know that, you know, it's centering and balancing and meditation and so forth. And we go in, and then those vibrations can open and expand and create an environment around us that actually offers us the reflection of who we are, and it's easier for us to make the choices in the world that we want to make and so forth. So to join in with the record of the Akashic and to open to the space that that has for us, which has a lot of information and wisdom that we might not be conscious about, we go into that soul seed space. And in previous programs with you, I've talked about that a little bit. You know, the easiest way is to just put your fingertips right there on the soul seed, right in the center of the chest there, at the base of where your ribs are,
mm-hmm.
and breathe into there. And then that vibration, it opens us so that we can actually travel through the pathway of that vibration home again to the swing between worlds, and the Akashic records are there as well. Now, they open by us bringing our library card. So our library card, to get into the stacks of the Akashic records, is our vibration.
That so was the term, by the way, the stacks.
Yeah, the stacks. Yeah, that's what I thought you were going to say. So, you know, literally, we have to go in and find the vibration and use it, not just to go to the Akashic records, but for everything in our life. And then we're really on target with who we are, and things are easier. So to go to the Akashic records now is very important, because we're at a place where we're making choices not only individually but collectively about humanity's future. And we're coming into this time at the end of December where there's a shift in perspective and consciousness happening, and it's happening so rapidly that we're realizing, all of us, that we don't have control over anything anymore. You know, the way we used to think, oh, I can just do this and this and this will work this way.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work that way anymore. So the Akashic Records has just, let's just say, the perspective of the whole ball of wax. So you can see all of it from there. And you can also take your vibration, go to the Akashic Records, open the door, open the gateway to that, see your particular record. You can actually read it if you'd like to. And then that will show you, well, where are you going in this new world of consciousness? Where do you show up? What is the actual intention and the potential and the mission statement that you have, you know, written inside of you? What's your blueprint? What are those kinds of ideas that are formulating in your mind, and the yearnings that you have? What are they based on? Why are you going as fast as you're going, or in the direction you're going in? Or why are you being pulled here or there or whatever? So it's a clarification. It's also, very interestingly, a way to reorder the vibrations so that, for example, if there's something happening that we feel unclear about or isn't as harmonious or balanced as we'd like, or perhaps there's a part of us that wants to make a great change in something and we're not sure what we should be doing, and we know that we've made some choices in the past that haven't supported us in the way that we'd like to be supported, we can actually go into the records and through our vibration create what it is we want, because it's a creative space, and then bring that creative space into this space and actually shift the things that we'd like to shift, balance the things we'd like to balance, and create the things we'd like to create. So the Akashic Records is an access point for past, present, and future. Doesn't have limitation in terms of what's there. We can see other lifetimes. We can see future lifetimes, parallel lifetimes. And we can also look at this particular reality and say to ourselves, okay, so where are we? And why are we here? That big why question that we never seem to get the answer to.
Yeah, exactly.
And what can we do about it? What can we do about the animals that are in trouble, the environment, what we can do about, you know, the violence and the catastrophic situations that are occurring? What can I do? What can we do? What can we put together? So the records are an access point, but they're also our greatest resource. And we access them through the vibration, which is through the soul seed. And that vibrational connection then gives an authentic readout of who we are. And I'm taking this information from Sunlight on Water, which was a book that is full of messages from the ones with no names. And I would be glad to send the chapter to anyone who'd like it if they just email us at soulsupportsystems at comcast.net. And I can send them this chapter to help them understand all the ins and outs of what I'm speaking about. It's a very interesting process to know that you have a full availability to use the wisdom that's inside of you, and also to open that wisdom and ground it in the world in a way that perhaps you've had the inclination to do before, but haven't perhaps had the understanding about how to do. Yeah. And we all know that we're doing the best we can.
Yeah.
And if we knew how to do something, we'd do it. So at some point in our time today, I'd like to just take a little journey there, just to open that pathway for people so that they can access it on their own.
Okay.
In any way that they can. And I would love to have conversation with anybody who'd like to talk about that as well. The whole thing about the Akashic Records is that they're not fixed in stone. In other words, because it's a creative index, we can change what's written there. We can change even past lifetime experiences through present connection with our own vibrational truth. And I was reading, as I think you read the newsletter that I just wrote about the Madeleine L'Engle books, there's a wonderful one, Swiftly Tilting Planet. And she talks about a young protagonist who actually goes back with the help of a unicorn into other lifetimes to help people make choices that are more loving and kind and supportive of life, which, of course, is the main thing to support life, and how those choices by those individuals affect the future and how we can go back in time either in our own record or in another record, and we can actually create a consciousness around that that has to do with equanimity and balance and compassion. And that will then have effect in all the subsequent spaces where those points of reality, those individuals, those soul points are accessed, or they're living together in a group, or they're having a relationship with each other. So we're not separate from each other. You know, and this interconnection between time and space and all this amazing, exciting relationship that we are aware of through physics is really supporting this, you know, that there's no time, there's no distance, there's no space. And so we have all kinds of opportunities to set the record straight, to be more clearly understood, to talk about who we are and why it's important for us to be doing what we're doing. So that we can be in cooperation with others. And we have this potential now. We're at a place where we have to make this choice. You know, we're, 22 days away from this big choice point in December of 2012.
Yeah.
And it's the fantastic thing about it is that because we can shift the realities that we think are fixed, we can then add to whatever it is that we're looking at a creative potential that then stimulates us to pull forth from ourselves all of our ancient wisdom. The ones with no names call this time the coming together of the ages. So it's as if you take all the stacks of books that are in New York and the Alexandrian Library. You know, my brother's actually recreating that library in Delaware. And there's this whole, you know, kind of movement to bring wisdom together in one time, in one place. So if we think about all of the modalities and the tools and the quote-unquote new discoveries that are coming, and, you know, you go through a quote-unquote new thought, new age bookstore, and you see, well, there's this way to do it, and there's that way, and there's color, and there's sound, and there's vibration, and there's many, many things that weren't here 20, 30 years ago in books and in kind of a, you know, you can go and look in the web on somebody's website and get whatever it is that you want to get, you know, in terms of, well, this will help me balance this part and this will help me resolve that and so forth. But it's all coming from within us, from these ancient times, and so we have this opportunity right now to really synthesize all of it, put it together in a way that we've never had before, because the veils are thin, the consciousness is speeding up, and we're not controlling the reality in the same way that we thought we were. So we have to let go, and we have to open out, and we have to foundation this in a way that responds deeply to the needs of everyone, not just a survival of one person.
Yeah.
So we're really in this place of we have to do it together and support life and open out and respect and honor all beings. And this is the feminine. That's
yeah.
the feminine. And so as we think about all the technology and everything we've accomplished in the masculine, and then we put together all of this wonderful caring and kindness and synthesis of well, let's just say earth and heaven energies unified. All of this is now possible in a way it's never been possible before.
You know, it's interesting. As you're speaking, so many different thoughts come to mind. One in particular, and I'm not going to, even if I could recall the movie title, I probably wouldn't recommend it just because of its content. But the gist of the movie was the phrase asked by the protagonist, "Why can't you just be nice? You know, why do you have to be mean all the time?" And he was talking to a talk show host that he had just attacked, who was flat out mean on the radio. And it's like, why does everybody have to be so mean? And I then start thinking of the images from the news in regards to shopping and just the utter chaos. And I'm having to ask this question of you, and maybe you'll be accessing other information as well. I'm wondering if these images that we are seeing, not so much the movie, but from the news, especially this holiday season in particular in this country, because I don't know that this kind of stuff goes on anyplace else in the world as far as the utter mindless chaos, if you will, in terms of trying to find something to give to someone. Are we seeing a minority of people who are involved in this activity, whereas there are those such as yourself who are in the majority now? Has that reached that level yet where the majority of the population has said, we're tired of striving and surviving. We want to thrive. And that seems to be a key word, by the way, that nobody wants to survive anymore. They want to thrive. They want to live the life that they've been given and not just struggle. I'm a great uncle, and my niece gave birth to a little girl. And I think of my sister, who's now a grandmother, and my mother, who is now a great-grandmother. And it's the first time in many years that we've had four generations alive at the same time. And I wonder, is she, my great-niece, is she relegated to the same future that my parents and their children have been involved in for the last 80, 90 years, because my father is 81. Are you seeing that the shift that we've been talking about, this transition that apexes on the 21st, and it'll manifest in whatever way it does, is encompassing a larger number of the populace on the planet, the 7 billion that are here, or is it still, you think it's still in the minority, less than 50%?
Well, what the records indicate is that we are at a place where the polarity is at its most intense. So when we look at any kind of news recording of, usually, of course, the less positive, let's put it that way, because that's what's reported on.
Yeah.
What we're seeing is a worldwide trend to bring the grief, which is at the base of the frustration and the anger and the greed and all that, you know, that we experience as human beings. It's really based on grief, in my perspective. And so we're seeing that rise, and we're seeing also on the other side, we're seeing the capacity to create, the capacity to really know what truth is and to honor and respect other people, that's rising as well. And we call that consciousness. It's just basically being aware of other than oneself. So we have both of those things rising. And what I see is it's like a rubber band that's being pulled very taut. And one side's pulling in one direction and one side's pulling in the other direction. And at some point, the rubber band will break. Now, we know when the rubber band breaks that all the ones on the right and ones on the left and ones in between and ones, you know, on one side and the other side, let's not use right or left,
right.
One side or the other,
on either
they're going
to
fall, they're going to fall together in the center. They're going to come together in a way that they haven't before because they're going to lose their position. They're going to lose their belief system. They're going to lose their conditioning about how to survive and what they need to do and that they can't trust each other and that we're separate and all those things that really aren't true. which we, you know, we call the illusion. So that illusion will that bubble will burst, and then they'll look around and see. And that's what this this December Mayan calendar process is about. It's bringing us to the family and the community of the heart. That's what it's for.
Yeah.
And so even you watching those individuals on television are coming into your heart and saying, why can't we be here? It's showing us that it's basically giving us a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also giving us a reflection of, so what do we individually, and this is where the records come in, what can we individually do? What action can we take? What prayer can we make? What heart position can we hold for others? What kind of field can we place them in to support them in remembering that this is an illusion, this need to have and to get there first and to, you know, it's just very interesting. I just flew someplace and this guy, you know, I just stooped down to get my my bag, and the guy moved in front of me, and we were just getting on, you know, we were in the whatever you call it when you get onto the plane, you know, and there was no place to go. And I just looked at him, and he looked at me, and I said, you know, it's really a strong instinct, isn't it, you know, to move ahead in the line, even if there's no place to go, you know. So we have these instincts that we really are working with all the time, and being conscious is something that takes some doing. And I think, you know, even for myself, to stop, to go within, to ask the questions, to respond to something that's invisible, to be in a wise place with myself, is less easy than just doing something very practical and doing something that's habitual and conditioned and I don't have to think about, you know?
And
so, but we all are at that point where, what are our priorities? What are our values? How are we going to hold that space of consciousness for each other? Because if we don't, we're going to lose our way. We're not going to have a path then to follow, because, as we've been saying, you know, what we used to do doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
We have to create new models.
I know that in talking with people in the last few days about what's transpiring in Washington in particular, I say, well, you know, logic dictates, why don't they just make these tax cuts that they keep playing with? Why don't they just make them permanent? Make the tax increases temporary and deal with that. Oh, no, you're dealing with politicians and logic, and those are mutually exclusive terms. And it's like, what? These are human beings. They have brains. They haven't been taken over by some alien force that's controlling them. At least I don't think they have. I mean, come on. We were given these incredible minds and hearts to face the challenges of this planet. And it's like, I guess what I'm seeing in that example, and I just, you want to use that as an example. I'm not going to focus on that as a point of conversation. What I'm seeing is there's a group of people who are still struggling with what you're talking about in terms of new choices. They're still bogged down in, and I'll use that term, the old paradigms, the old ways of doing things. They haven't reached the level yet, and maybe it's going to take, maybe using the modern technology, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of tweets to these people saying, hey, stop it. Stop your silliness. Okay? We are out here, and we are hearing and seeing what you're doing, and you don't need to be doing this. In other words, we're not going to castigate them. We're going to try to guide them to say, no. This isn't the way this is going to be done anymore. You have to change. And that's kind of what I'm hearing you saying, and what the records are there for. And I want to get into a little bit more detail of what else we can find in there, especially on an individual level. I mean, you even said that we can go there and actually read our own record, which is, to me, fascinating. I'd be rather interested to see. I know that the Catholic Church and the FBI have a record on me. I mean, FBI's got one on everybody. I'll share that story with you one day. I've got a record there in the Akashic stacks, as it were, and it would be interesting to see what's there. We're talking with Flo Magdalena, and we're here on Tell Me Your Story talking about the Akashic Records, the supernatural or the ethereal stacks, if you will. And you already have your library card. We're actually going to, in our next segment, when we return, We're going to have you, Flo, offer what you shared and offered at the beginning of the program in terms of helping people to make those choices, and we're going to go there. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I want you to stay right where you are.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan with Flo Magdalena and SoulSupportSystems.com, and It's, to me, an interesting conversation because it's not something that we've ever really talked about in depth. I've talked with people about the Library of Alexandria with several different people, and one gentleman who actually is sort of building his own, I'm trying to recall his name. I've had so many guests in the last over 5 years that it's hard to remember everybody, but that's part of the beauty of this program is the diversity of the types of guests and subject matter that we cover. So you'll need to go to the archives page, the radio shows page, and search out that kind of information as well. Flo, let's talk a little bit about this process that you were sharing at the beginning of the program that you wanted to make available, if you will. I mean, certainly if people email you, and let's give out that email address, if they wanted to get that chapter from your book on the records, they would
right.
email.
So the Sunlight on Water is the title of the book. It's a guide to soulful living. It's by the Ones with No Names. And this is a chapter called, Your Vibration is Your Library Card. And I would be glad to email that to anyone. My email is soulsupportsystems@comcast.net, and our website is soulsupportsystems.org.
Oh, beg your pardon.
So, yeah, that's all right. So anything that you would like to access in terms of the Akashic Records, I'd be glad to have a conversation with you, and I'd just be glad to send you the chapter. So the Akashic Records is a place where we can go on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, whatever, asking the question why, asking the question how, asking the question what, whatever is up for us, however it is in our life that it would be helpful for us to understand more. We just actually go down into the soul seed, breathe into there, and then open out a path in front of us and imagine ourselves walking down that path. Now, you can actually go up a ladder if you'd like to go up. You know, if you'd like to think about the Akashic Records above you, it's actually all around us. It's not necessarily above or below us.
Mm-hmm.
And you can walk through that pathway, which we can do in a few minutes, and you can ask for your vibration to open your particular record so that your library card is your vibration. You open that record, and you can see what's there. It does take practice. It's kind of like all the subtle kinds of invisible processes that we do meditatively or visualizations. It's a quiet place that you want to be in the environment. You want to relax and breathe. And just imagine and let go of preconceived ideas about what you're going to see or what you need to have in terms of experience beforehand. You don't need anything except the intention. And one of the things that the Nameless Ones talk about a lot is that with intention and holding the vibration of our own soul seed constant, and then having that intention, for example, seeing what it is that the intention would manifest, is a way to create anything in any dimension because it has three points to it. So you have your vibration, you have your intention, and then you have the actual picture of what it will be like when it manifests. If you hold those three points consistent and constant, you know, Abraham says for 64 seconds, but for however long you can, mm-hmm. and as consistently as you can, then you can actually, it's like making a mark in your consciousness that you can then go to. And the next time you go, you don't need to make that mark. You make the next mark, you know, and you kind of build on that. And as you build on that, you get more information. So you'll have an orderly way of receiving the guidance in a very specific, it'll be your own coordinates, your own aspects, your own understandings, pictures or memories or ideas, because it's yours. So it will have clarification for you based upon your own story. So It's very important for you to understand that you'll receive your information in whatever way you receive information. So when we go through the guided experience in a few minutes, it will be whatever it is for you. So I'll leave that really open-ended so that you can understand it according to your own experience and so that you can feel like it is yours and you can begin to expand that vibration in your body. And the most important thing that I can tell you is that if you live from that vibration, when you are relating to people, when you're making decisions in your life, when, you know, if you're a congressperson, you know, and you're afraid to do what you know is right, then when you go to your record, you can actually see yourself experiencing enough creative consciousness so that you have the courage to come into the world and take that position, take the stand for what you know is correct in terms of, and you know, right or correct is always in terms of how is it going to affect the next 6 and 7 generations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how is the future of humanity going to be served by what you're choosing?
And by the way, just a brief stop here. I was talking with a gentleman some months ago about his particular book and so forth, and he liked to change the phrase right to the word correct. He said that it was more appropriate because obviously the word right has other connotations to it. So when we
Absolutely.
Talk about that term, and I know how powerful words are, and so when we use the correct words, we are able to be more precise. So tell us about what do we need to do to prepare for this that you're going to take us through this meditation or this guided process?
Well, since we're off the cuff here, we're going to be doing kind of, you know, by the seat of our pants. But mm-hmm. if you're going to do it subsequent to now, it might be helpful for you to be in an environment where it's quiet and warm and you're comfortable, sitting or lying, you know, whatever way you like to do visualization.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, if you could think about, what is it I really want to know? What is it that isn't working for me in my life? Or what would I like to alter or shift or make different or reorder or resolve or calibrate or connect with or open unto? All those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
What is up for me? And how could I use this record to inform me, to clarify things for me, to bring me the strength to go forward with whatever might be happening? And how could I use the record to understand myself and be better understood? It's one of the things that's really important when the Nameless Ones channel the record for someone and the readings that we sometimes do. It's about being understood, knowing that they really have a place in the universe, and you know that there's a piece of the puzzle and it has your name on it, and if you don't put it in, then it doesn't happen in the same way. So all of us are extremely important to this process of humanity's evolution, what they call the design. So when we go to the record, we get the big design, we get our part of the design, our microcosm, and then we can put our piece in that hologram of consciousness much more easily because we know what we're doing and why we're doing it. And that's what this is about. It's really finding that out. So thinking about those things ahead of time and then getting in a quiet place and then again breathing down. I like to use there was a commercial years ago where I think it was Prel, where there was this thick green liquid and this lady would put a pearl in the top and you'd see it go very, very slowly down, proving that this beautiful green gel was very thick, you know. So you just want to put the pearl in the top of your head and then let it go down right into this place that we call the Xiphoid process, the soul seed or the seed of light. And the seed of light is what Magdalene speaks about a lot, and how as an emissary of light, you know, she brings this idea that we are all light, and because we're all light, we can all go to the record, we can see our oneness, we can experience it, and we can have the courage to live our life fully from the place of the unconditioned, you know, rather than from the conditioning, we live it from our inner design. So that design gets stronger the more we go into the soul seed. So then we go into that space. So why don't we just do that now? So I'll just kind of lead a very short meditation. We'll go right up to the records. All right, so let's imagine that we're going to open the tops of our heads and our crown energies, and from our transpersonal point, it's about 3 feet above us, it's our personal star. We're going to just let this pearl or diamond or crystal come right down in the top of our head, just breathing very, very quietly, very naturally, bringing this pearl or crystal or beautiful light right down through the center of our body, into this place where our ribs come together, called the seat of light. And as we breathe there, the seat of light opens. There's a gateway there. There's an opening. And we begin to feel how that seat of light is constantly present for us and connecting us to our origin, to our source, to the records, and to all of our wisdom, our own vibration. And as that opens, that gateway to the soul, it spills out lots of gems and jewels, and it makes a pathway, maybe of rose petals or beautiful flowers. And we just imagine that we're going to walk on that pathway, right in the middle of the air, right in the middle of the universe, just walking right out, wherever it takes us. Just look around and see where you are, because your soul will take you where you need to go to access your record. And we walk along that pathway, and we can see in front of us, ahead of us, a beautiful structure of light, and it's pulling us as if we're on a magic carpet, very easily, gently moving us into that space, right in front of the castle. There are big pillars at the entrance to the castle, and there is a record book. And as we move into that space, right up to the gates of the castle, there is a guardian there. That guardian will be your guardian. And you say, I've come to read my record in the Akashic to answer the questions that I have in my life. And I'm using my vibration. Feel my soul seed, feel my energy, feel my light. And I'd like to use this to access my record at this time. And feel opening happening, that blessings are being bestowed, and there's openness to this request. The gate opens, and your guardian goes with you, either takes your hand or puts their arm around you or lifts you into their arms or walks beside you. And you go into the castle, and your guardian is going to take you into the special section of the castle where your record is. It's all happening very easily. So that you can see your design and know who you are and why you've come and what this is about for you. Knowing that your vibration is going to change everything just because it can. And the more conscious you are of how that vibration works for you, the easier your life will be. So you arrive now at the beautiful stack of records, and your guardian pulls out the book that has your record in it and leads you over to a little stand where you can place the book. And now you open the book and write your question with an invisible pen. And then you begin to read, because of course it's magic, and right underneath your question is the answer that you're seeking. Or open to receive the answer in any way that it might show itself. You might actually see a picture book. You might actually have memories playing right across the page of the book. You might see your past, your present, or your future. You might actually see the relationships that you have with different people playing out right in front of you. And you can keep asking the questions in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, or writing them down with your magic pen. And the book starts to dissolve. And you're actually relating to everyone and everything in any way that you choose to do so. You can imagine outcomes that would make you happy, that would bring you to your heart, perhaps offer forgiveness, understanding, deep resolution. All the spaces of the universe are open to you in the records. You can pull to you anything that will assist you. Answers and resolutions and understandings all come just because you ask for them and choose them. You know that you can return here any time that you'd like to. And you know that you'll have this foundation. Whatever has occurred is the beginning of your relationship with your innermost world and with the understandings that are available through this universal library in the sky. And you begin to bring those realities now closer and closer to you. Closer and closer, the people, the experiences, just so that they're actually relating now back on the page that you were looking at. And you take one final moment to ask for the resolution for what you've been given to be synthesized and very understandable so that you can take it back to Earth with you and use it wisely and with grace. Bringing your truth into the world and holding that very steady as part of who you are. And when you're ready, you close the book. Maybe you put the answer in your heart, write it on a piece of paper and put it in your pocket, write it across your forehead and just remember it. Hand the book back to the guardian. The guardian will put it back on the shelf and escort you now back to, through the castle or the structure if you have a different structure. Any imaginative space is fine. Moving back now to the gate, saying goodbye to your guardian. Or asking your guardian to come with you and stay with you in your life. Calling forth other guardians or other assistants. Anything that you need or want is available in the space. And then you gather all the energies together and return down your pathway. And deposit all of this wisdom into the soul seed so that you can access it at any time. You might want to sit in the soul seed for a while and reflect on what you've experienced or deeply have gratitude that this viewpoint, this understanding, this way of being is now part of you. And then sit in your soul. Open and expand through your breath, and then bring yourself back into your everyday reality. the environment that you're sitting or lying in, and perhaps journal or write this experience so that all of the key points can be anchored in your consciousness. And you can go back and forth between what you know and what you'd like to go back and discover again, and you can begin to relate to it in a much more practical, normal way, going back and forth to the records to gain access to whatever will assist you in your life.
Well, I certainly hope that that was helpful for a lot of folks to experience, and certainly you can experience that again if you want to. Just go to the archives page, the radio show's page at richarddugan.com, and pull up the interview, and you can listen to it again, download it and listen to it again, and let flow guide you each time through so that you begin to develop the confidence in going there and finding what you're looking for, getting the answers to the questions that you have. And there is no question, Flo. We all have questions that we want answers to. In spite of one of the phrases that I used to hear when I would ask these questions, the phrase was, well, why don't you leave some of those questions unanswered for eternity? You know? So,
yeah,
well,
right.
That's fine, because when I get to eternity, I'll have all the answers. There won't be any more questions. Well, mm-hmm. Supposedly. But it just seems to me, too, that if we have the opportunity... And I struggle with this a little bit more on an intellectual level. You know, I know that we're here to have experiences. That was one of the reasons why we came here. Well, it seems like maybe we're cheating a little bit by going to these records and getting these answers to these questions instead of just out and out, just enjoying and having the experiences. But maybe that's part of the problem, is we're not enjoying the experiences anymore.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah.
And I think that, as I stated earlier, I think many of us are, whether we've been here once or 1,000 times, we're tired.
Yeah.
Not of coming here, not of being here, but of the way things are for everyone, not just for us as individuals. And I think that's probably the biggest key that most people can take away from all of this, is that this isn't about Richard saying, I'm tired and I want things to change for Richard, or Flo saying that for Flo. We're both saying it for all 7 billion plus people on the planet. There's a better way. There's a, you know, to coin a phrase, there's a kinder and gentler way. There's a nicer way for us to live, where we can still be productive, where we can still be challenged, you know, where we can still have exciting lives, but where we're not hurting ourselves and our fellow man.
Well, the basic choice is between survival or creation. And what we just did in going to the records is working with creation. And what we do when we're fighting over Christmas presents and when we're making decisions that affect individuals that are needy or that are having challenges, and we're not supporting those people and whatever those choices or decisions are, you know, it's a very different thing. And so by going to the records, what we find, or meditating or going to the soul seed, all these things are the same in the sense that they take us out of the conditioned world of right and wrong, of duality, and of mistrust and fear. You know, when you talked about these Congress people, they're afraid to do what their consciousness tells them, in my experience. I mean, when I just look at them, I think, well, you know, they have to please certain people to get reelected, to get funding for this and that and the other thing, and that's a system that if we all went to the records would change, and perhaps it'll change organically as it's going along. But it's about fear, you know, and it's about I have to do this to survive, and I have to compete,
yeah.
And I have to have this, and if I have this, then I'll be okay. And it's because we are not in touch with that within us, which supports us and sustains us. You know, and many times people will say to me, well, I'm going to just let the universe support me. And I said, well, it doesn't really work that way. You know, lots of people who move away from the conditioning say, well, I'm just going to quit my job and let the universe support me. And I say, well, what we really need to do is our part. What's your part? Let's find out what your part is so you can do your part, and then the universe will support you in that, because there is a statement that you're making about the presence of your life force here to do what you came to do, and that always gets support, you know, always. And we go and ask the questions to the Akashic Records to find out the answers so that we can do our job. That's why we're doing this in my book. You know, it's yes, we can feel better and we can understand more about how things work and be understood, which is very important. And then when that happens, when we get our needs met, we go and help other people get theirs met. And that's how it works, basically. You know, yeah. It's to ask someone to help someone else who doesn't have their needs met. It is not possible for them because we have to know that we're taken care of, and that connection with the guardians, with the records, with our soul, lets us know that we really belong in this universe. And then the joy can come. You know, the joy comes from that sense of belonging. Most of the people I talk to really don't think they belong here. What am I doing in this place, this alien place? It's like you said, Richard. Is, you know, I know in my heart it can be different. And then we also find that, you know, we lose our temper, we shift our perspective sometimes, and we're in a place of reactivity, and we understand, you know, that that's a quote-unquote kind of a normal thing that we do. We lose our context of the heart sometimes, and so it's practice. And the more we support our life with these invisible understandings of truth, that we're all one, and that there is no time, and that we can affect reality wherever we want to affect it. As we learn these things and begin to use these tools, then we have more scope and breadth and depth and richness within our being, and then we can shower that on other people. We can just let that out. And we have to have a surplus to let that out. And most people in the world feel like they don't have enough. And yeah. They have this perspective, like, there's not enough. I have to grab this because there's not enough. And I want to make this person happy, so I have to do this, and this is how I have to make them happy. And it's all very materialistic and based on things that don't last.
Yeah. I'm so intrigued, especially by some of the things that now are coming back to mind after so many years, in terms of my early career. Some of the phrases, some of the passages, especially from the Bible, about it's like the explanation of this passage is so clear to me today, than more so than it was then, about there being enough. And that we don't have to struggle and toil in spite of what it might say in the Old Testament about how, you know, every man will survive by the sweat of his own brow. But yet Jesus even told the disciples that, you know, you watch the birds flying through the air. They don't toil. They neither spin nor sow, and yet they're taken care of. So how much more will you be taken care of? And it goes back to also what you said. You still have to do your part. I mean, there is a universal exchange process. That's just the law of the universe. It's not a question of if you don't, God will smite you. That's just the way that it works. The sun rises and the sun sets. The sea rolls in and the sea rolls out. There's a giver and there's a receiver. There has to be that flow in this world, or you can forget it. You know, it's you're blocking the flow. And that's the other element, too, especially with, you know, I'm sure you're aware of, if you haven't already seen some of the television programs on the hoarders. The flow is going one way and stops, and nothing's going out.
Right.
And some people are doing that and filling their homes with stuff. Some people are doing that and filling their bank accounts with numbers. You know, and some people are doing it with a myriad of different things, and they stop the flow. I have to tell you that every time a drain gets stopped at home or the water gets turned off at home, I'm doing everything I can to unclog that drain and get that water back on, because it's a metaphor for life. And it's speaking to me in that moment, saying there's something that's there that's blocking and you need to unblock it. And so if I can get that literal water flow unblocked, no matter whether it's coming in or going out, then I'm feeling better about just the general flow of life through mine.
Well, you know, it's a very important time to make that choice to let go and to hold nothing really hold nothing. You know, all of the amazing storms and challenges we have. You know, all these people losing everything that they've stored. You know, and bought and had. It's sad, and yet what they're finding, I think, in terms of the earth change process, is that cooperation and the heart is the only thing that will support them moving forward. You know, it's, we all have these amazing challenges now. I know for myself that, you know, my family's lots of illness, and my mom is 94, four generations, and we have a new baby that's been very sick, and there's just, everybody has something, you know, to kind of look at and say, so where do we go from here? You know, how can we use all of the wisdom that humanity has gathered throughout all of the you know, thousands and thousands of years of being here, and make a world together that works for everybody.
Yeah. I've used the analogy of a lifeboat. And in this instance, the lifeboat is large enough to contain everyone. Not everybody is going to want to go. But I'm going to say this. We want everyone in the lifeboat because everyone has something to contribute. There's only one condition. You have to be willing to let go of the old paradigms because we're not taking those with us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we want everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what label you may have today, that's going to change, and that's okay. I even asked the question, who said that this is the way that life was supposed to be? That we had to keep it this way, that there was absolutely no other way. And someone, well, we've tried all these other things. No, we haven't. We haven't tried everything yet. You know?
Well, you know, the thing that I've always said is that the greatest untapped resource that we have is our soul.
Yeah.
Because when I talk to people and I tell them I do soul work and so forth, they kind of look at me like, oh, and they don't know what to say because they think about the soul as having either to do with religion, you know, like being saved by religion, or the soul of a painting or the soul of an artist or something. And I say, you know, but you have a soul. Do you want to access your soul? Well, why would I want to access my soul? Well, you know, everything is in there. You know, your soul's your best friend. It's been with you forever.
Yeah.
And it's the place where you can learn about who you are and bring that wisdom in.
Right.
And that wisdom is what replaces the fear and the need to compete and all the things that we've been talking about.
Yeah. And unfortunately, our talk has to come to an end at some point. And I am so grateful that we had the opportunity to talk here. I want to let our listeners know that they can get in touch with you through soulsupportsystems.org. They can also contact you via email for the one chapter on the Akashic Records by emailing you at soulsupportsystems@comcast.net. And Flo Magdalena, thank you so much for joining us, and I look forward to talking with you again in the new year.
Thank you, Richard. Have a great December.
Gonna do just that. I'm looking forward to January as well. I'm
okay.
Richard Dugan, and this has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next Saturday at this same time, love, Talal.